The State of Re podcast is about the state of relationships, relationships in all aspects of your life. So check it out as we break it down for you. Me and Coach for real. Welcome to the State of Re podcast, where we cover the life and times of our present day and times through the lens of a state of Re, meaning re-examine, rewind, refine, review, reach, revolutionize, redemption, recruit, and refute topics and issues ranging from entertainment, education, sports, reality, and real issues of the day-to-day life. I am your host, Professor Dean, with your co-host, Coach For Real. We got segments and links lined up for you about a little bit about everything. A little bit about everything today. We're about to set it off.
We are back one time for your mind, time.
First to the finish, last to the pass, Coach For Real coming at your way.
Professor Dean, State of Re podcast. We are here live and present. Here we go. Episode 3.
Let's get it.
All right. What's good? What's good? Here live and present. We are back. Coach, you here?
Good to be back, man. Good to be back.
I know we've been missing for a couple weeks, so we're glad to be back. And we're excited to put out a couple more episodes for everybody out there. Thank you for following us. We want to appreciate all our friends and families and everybody who sent us feedback and
All the feedback.
That's right. They've been listening to our podcast. We appreciate you very much.
Much love.
Episode two is out along with this episode, which is episode 3. So we're glad to be back. State of Re podcast. Coach, you good? You ready?
Let's get it.
All right. So we're gonna get started. This week and shit is redonkulous. I was too excited to say shit because this shit is redonkulous. But basically, there's a woman in England. She's I guess she's a feminist model, or I don't know what her whole ordeal is. She's a blogger, and basically, she's turning her bodily fluids and her body parts into jewelry. In specific, how do you pronounce this word? Is a labia? Libya? How do you say that?
Her vagina.
Her vagina. Her extra labia parts.
Her labia.
I don't even want to go, like, I'm going to
be... Her lips. Her vagina lips.
Basically, she's turning it into actual jewelry. So, she gets... How? So, after her surgery, she took it from the doctors, and she took it out, and she basically...
But what surgery did she have?
I guess...
Like a circumcision?
How much of that... I don't get that concept, but, I mean... To all our fans out there, if you get it.
Help us.
Help us understand that.
Help us.
I don't understand it, but basically she took the extra skin or whatever it was and used it to create jewelry out of it. And now she highlighted, she basically used glitter and stuff to make it more spunky and shiny and look cool. And she's rocking this, man. She's rocking it like a gold chain, but it's her choker.
So she's running around here with a...
So she getting choked by her own living...
Pussy necklace.
this is a true story. I couldn't make this stuff up. That's why this shit is redonkulous, man.
That is redonkulous, bro.
So that's why shit is redonkulous of the week. I'm not even going to, this is a...
I wonder how much that costs.
She has a YouTube video. She's a blogger. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. Her name is, I think, something Kiss. Tracy Kiss, K-I-S-S. But maybe I got her first name wrong, but don't mind me.
Just look it up.
Just look it up, man. So that is our shit is redonkulous news of the week. It's pretty graphic, but, we thought it was pretty redonkulous. So we had to share that with y'all.
All right. First up, we got good reads and reviews. Professor Dean, you got anything for us?
Yes. The new documentary out on Netflix, the Long Shot documentary. It's called The Long Shot.
What's that about?
And it's about Juan Catalan, who was arrested... It's a documentary basically about a young man who was arrested for accusations of murder in Los Angeles, California. And the documentary covers a very interesting perspective in our criminal law system that is flawed and highly flawed. And it covers that in detail because what makes this case so unique is because the show Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David actually captures footages of the young man who was accused of murder at the Los Angeles Dodger game. He was present at the game and not at the place where the police officers had accused him of being. So if you get a chance to watch it, I'm not going to tell you the outcome and the ending. I already told you too much, but it's a great documentary. When you get a chance, check that out because it's a really important documentary considering the times we are in. Yeah. And all the cases and all the issues that we're dealing with around the country. So
yeah, you said that's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix. Cool. So
what's it called again?
It's called Long Shot.
Long Shot.
So it's a pretty cool documentary. Y'all check that out. What you got for me, man?
Man, I got a book this week that I've been just plugging into it on my free time. It's called The Hollywood Commandments.
The Hollywood Commandments?
Yeah, it's written by Devon Franklin.
Okay.
Who is the luckiest man on the world.
Why is he lucky? Tell us.
He's married to Megan Good, man.
Megan Good? Like the Megan Good?
The Megan Good.
Like good Megan Good.
Good. Gooder than
like Megan. Like beautiful Megan Good, yes.
But anyways, he's not the luckiest. I'm the luckiest. But I'm blessed and highly favored. But this Megan Good's husband, I think it's about his third book.
Okay.
Called The Hollywood Commandments. He is involved in Hollywood. He's a producer, owns a film company and all that stuff. But he breaks down like 10 principles to success in your secular industry without giving up your spiritualness and your values.
And your faith.
And your faith.
Got you.
And to, you know, to the corporation you work for, to what you want to build.
Basically not selling your soul out.
Yeah. And still how to be successful without selling your soul.
Got you. That's powerful, man. I got to look into that. So what's the book called again?
It's called The Hollywood Commandments. A Spiritual Guide to Secular Success.
By?
Devon Franklin.
All right. So check that out when y'all get a chance to. Thank you for that review, sir.
Yep. So what's up with you, Professor Dean? Got any rewinds for the week?
Rewinds, one of our favorite sections. One of our fans' favorite sections is a week of, obviously, we love music. And a lot of our listeners love music, too. So this week, just recently, Miss Janae Aiko, she just dropped her second album, her official album, Trip, T-R-I-P.
What you think about that, man?
When you think trip, it means it has several meanings.
Right.
So the double meaning for me is the trip of her journey and her experiences, obviously, as an artist and as a mom and all the things that she's gone through. Mm. She covers that in the songs and her music, but also trip as in when you want some...
Some.
And so you're some tripping out. And if you look at the cover, you know, it's that
that model 60, must have been tripping.
60s. like you on some Grateful Dead LSD concert, type LSD of. Kind of animation. So it's a really interesting album. There's some really good songs on the album that she has guest featuring Corrupt, Young Gotti, different artists and producers. John Mayer was part of the production piece of it.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually one of her favorite artists is John Mayer. She talks about it. So it's a really good album. In addition to that, the other review I would say this week would be, as far as rewind goes, good-ass music is Macklemore's new album, Gemini, is a pretty solid album. I don't think it was as good as his last album or even the album before that. But that's me being, you know, just a fan and seeing it in different perspectives. But it's definitely a good album as well because him and Ryan Lewis don't work together no more. So he's back on his own beats and materials. And so it's actually really a solid album.
Interesting.
Some really good songs too. So y'all get a chance. It's called Gemini, Macklemore. Those are my two rewind music reviews of the week. What you got, man?
Man, just a story. You know, I might check out the Macklemore album. He still got some proving to do for me though.
Okay.
But what I had on rewind for this week is by a lady, Rhapsody.
Rhapsody, the legendary.
She's a
real MC.
I mean, just a real MC.
Lyricist.
And
boom, bat.
Yeah, for real. It's been dope just to see that growth. You know, she's signed to The Rock now.
Finally, somebody like...
Ho had to sign her.
It's about time, Ho.
So, you can tell the production was great. She got Bust on the album, Kendrick on the album, Anderson .Paak on the album, BJ the Chicago Kid on the album.
And it bugs me because she had to get a lot of people on the album before people recognize her skills, yeah. But the woman's been killing it.
Been killing it. And that's why you got people like Bust and Kendrick. She's been on Kendrick's album.
Yeah,
you know, people respect didn't her, even know. Yeah. So, but that's been on rewind for me. She's really spitting on there. So, y'all just want to hear MC and not a female MC.
What's the album called, man?
It's called Lila's Wisdom.
Lila's Wisdom. Thank you. All right. So go peep that. Download it. iTunes. Don't be illegal. Title. Don't try to be illegal about it, man. You don't need to nowadays. Everything's Spotify. You can listen to music through Pandora, all kinds of ways.
Go stream that.
Stream it or do what you got to do, but try to do it legally, man.
For real.
I know It's a different era, so don't, you know, treat the artists in a way that they're going to get love too, right?
Heard that.
With that being said, we're jumping right into a segment where we get feedback about two that a lot of our listeners like to talk about and discuss and send us feedback. So we're going to jump right into the Dose of Reality segment. The reality.
Reality of what?
So, Coach, for real, you're going to... Does sports and politics mix with all the current events and all the issues with the kneeling and the NFL and the NBA getting all this attention the flag and all the current events that have been happening around our country?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you think about this, and we'll have a little discussion about this.
So to take sports back to the Jack Johnson days.
Who's Jack Johnson? Give us some history on that a little bit.
I mean, to put it plain and simple, Jack Johnson was the Jackie Robinson of boxing.
Okay.
You know, first black boxer.
Okay.
And, you know, he was beating up all these white guys.
Okay.
And this was in a time, you know, and boxing is still the same way. You know, you have Floyd versus a lot of other Latinos, and then those fights become very
racial. And polarizing when it
comes to that. So to answer that question... Sports was not meant to mix with politics, but it turned into that. So from Muhammad Ali, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, to Colin Kaepernick, they have all used their platforms as a voice. If we want to talk about what's going on today in the NFL, do sports and politics mix? The president of today has made them mix. He stepped in and he told NFL owners what they need to do to their athletes. He made the mix. So if you want to answer that question, yes, they mix. When the president puts sports in his mouth, he made the Kool-Aid.
So let me play advocate. Let me just play advocate first. So if I just want to show up, I pay all this money for these season tickets. I just want to show up on Sunday to watch a good-ass game. I don't hear about no politics. No matter what ethnicity, what gender, what age.
Right.
I just want some entertainment so I can enjoy the game and not worry about to try to actually get away from the shit I see on TV, the racism, the hate, all this, the violence, right? If I want to get away from that, I'm trying to, like, prep my fantasy football team and then be ready to just sit in front of the TV or get ready to go to a game and get away from all that drama.
Yeah.
As playing devil's advocate here, how do you, you know, what do you say to those people?
Well, I feel like if you want to do that, then you have to go back 10 years from now and remove the national anthem. You can't.
Why 10 years? Explain.
Well, before 10 years ago, I mean, no one had their hands across the heart for the flag. Everyone was inside the locker room, coaches, everybody.
And you're talking about the NFL?
Yes.
Yes.
In the NFL, it was not until the U.S. Army, the Navy paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to be outside.
So you say this is a stage, financially paid venue that people are, the military was sponsoring, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you want to just go to athletic events and it be your getaway, then you have to remove everything political about it. There is no flag. This is not even about a flag. This is a game. Because we don't pledge allegiance before we go to a play or a movie.
Okay. So because that's entertainment, right?
That's entertainment. So if sports is just entertainment, you have to remove everything political about it and keep it as sports, just like a movie.
Okay.
Just like a play.
So, I mean, that's a great point. From the opposite side, a lot of times the argument people share with me is always, I'm just here for entertainment. I'm not here for all this politics. And,
right.
And some people genuinely don't like or can't stand politics and all the shit that comes with this. So the argument is that do they mix? And so in this segment for real this week, it kind of ties right into our action reaction with sports.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say on my part, as far as like my perspective, is that it's quite simple. Stay in your lane, man. POTUS. That's it. Stay in your lane. Don't talk about sports, and sports ain't going to be, you know, all up in the news about who's standing, who's not standing. Because the truth is, a lot of times when we go to those stadiums and the national anthem is on, it's a good time for some people to go to the bathroom, go buy some hot dogs.
Go get your beer.
You know, the truth is, not everybody's standing anyways. So, yes, we would like to pay respects, but in different ways. You know, it's not, and not everybody's going to make it a political thing. You know, as people who coach or are in that world as athletes, yes, sometimes that is a time for not only us to think about politics or anything like that, but just to reflect and be in the moment. So It means different things for different people. But just stay in your lane, man.
If you want to take politics out of sports, remove the song.
Yep, so stay in your lane.
And I just want to add that within all this controversy, we're missing the point. This is how they distract you from what the conversation was really all about, which was police brutality. And what Colin Kaepernick was standing up against the first time around was the issue surrounding police brutality and addressing this issue in our country. So don't let the politicians distract you from the real issue at hand, specifically whoever's running the country. But from that, we're going to keep it moving.
So jump in right into our next segment.
What are we talking about?
The State of Reeve main course of conversation this week. We're going to jump into relationships with your roots.
Okay.
So Professor Dean and Coach For Real, we're going to have a...
Like the nappy roots?
Like the nappy roots, like the roots, the movie, like the real roots, like the roots crew, like one of the greatest bands ever, the Roots. Jumping into your real roots and really looking into getting back to basics. And this is a
requested relationship topic from one of my good friends, PS4, you know who you are, who said, hey, what happened to just asking your uneducated mom instead of reading some fancy book? On learning about the wisdom of life and the issues that are going on, or you're talking to your pops or your uncle, or your grandma, or your auntie, your big sis. What happened to just getting back to your basics and talking to people around you about your roots and getting back to your relative foundations? So let's jump into this conversation.
Coach, for real, what you got for us, man? Give me your take.
Man, I think everyone has an interesting relationship with their roots.
Okay.
For me,
expand.
My relationship comes from finding out my roots. Okay. I don't know what my roots are, man. Some of us come from backgrounds where our roots are stripped. You know, we can't even find past 100 years, you know?
Expand on that for me. What do you mean?
So for me, I grew up with a single mom, and I know my grandparents, but my grandma was adopted.
Okay.
And she's some percentage white and half black. But she was adopted by a whole another family that she didn't, you know, really know. And then she became disconnected with them. So my roots really stop at my grandma, and my value and our family values and traditions stop there. On my dad's side, you know, I've spoken to him a few times, but we don't really have a relationship. So I think, you know, moving forward in that and trying to figure out my roots, I need to have a conversation with him. And maybe even go and see where he's from, who his parents are, where his parents were raised. And I think I will learn a lot about myself in that. So I think it's very important to reconnect with your roots, figure out your roots. And yeah, so what about you? I know you're very value driven. So,
well, for me, I think as an educator, but also as somebody who I feel like we have to carry the torches of our history. I mean this in the sincerest of way. It starts with just we look at things from a large lens, a macro lens, and we go into history right away instead of diving right into our backyard and talking to your auntie, your grandma, your mom, your sister, your brother, your cousin who knows where you grew up.
Right.
Your local OG who knows everything about the neighborhood and kind of seen it develop and change. And those things are real, man. Those things are real roots of reconnecting to our family. And sometimes we get so caught up with like these idealisms of what family is and Western concepts of what family is. And a village raises you sometimes. So we don't need to dive so far in the macro level. And that's important. But sometimes we go there instead of going right to the root of who is around us.
Exactly.
And so for me, that's something I, you know, have reflected on and thought about when this topic was raised to our attention, because the relationship with your roots and your family are so important. And we kind of take that for granted. And there's so many stories that, you know, everyone around us who's been younger and older can tell us a story that will help us understand our history. Yeah. Sometimes my little siblings will bring up things that I totally forgot about. My uncle and auntie would bring perspectives about my parents that I never even looked at. Yeah, so for me, those things are really helpful in understanding our history. Coming from a culture that doesn't have a written language, we can't dive too far back in our history neither. And so a lot of it is storytelling. What is your culture? So being Hmong American, H-M-O-N-G.
We have a rich indigenous nomadic history of battling governments and moving from China down to Southeast Asia. But I don't want to dive on that and go in history. But
basically for me, our history is important, but I know that we can only go so far as well. Right. And so before it becomes just a lot of storytelling that is content that's driven through the elders. And so that's why it is important that we write things down. It is important that we use the language we have, whatever language that may be. If you're bilingual and you can write multiple languages, if you can sign and your child it needs to be signed to and taught.
Right, right.
There's all these other elements of linguistic capital that we don't talk about. So for me, I don't want to get too deep on this, but I have to get deep because this is a topic I feel that is very dear to all of us. Is, you know, and understand the importance of your family and the knowledge and the history around you. And stay in touch with your roots, man. That's super, super important to keep you intact because I think we take that for granted.
In the education world, Dr. Yoso, I think, summed it best when she used the cultural wealth model to kind of help us understand the capital that around us, the wealth of knowledge that is around us, from your resistance to your social, to your familia, your navigational, your linguistic capital. All these things are the wealth that surrounds you, the cultural wealth that surrounds you that gives you knowledge. And it's not always in the traditional sense of the traditional two-parent household or even the single-parent household. It's people that love you, support you, and have knowledge, and you can pick their brain and they can guide you and mentor you, not in the always most traditional sense, but don't take that for granted.
I hope I'm making sense.
But, yeah, definitely.
That's what I would say when it comes to understanding my roots.
Right.
That's my take.
I know that was a long take, but what is your perspective now, Coach For Real?
So to give my personal perspective on this whole conversation, you know, I really just feel that, you know, I can't truly understand who I am until I figure out my roots when it comes to my dad's side. Because that's a whole unknown side of me that, you know, maybe I'll understand him in a different light if I understand the way he grew up, if I understand the way his dad grew up, see where they're from, see how they live. And then I'll see my dad as the man he is and not the mistakes he made. So I think for me that's important in figuring out my culture and my roots.
Okay.
What's your perspective?
My perspective is quite simple. I think it's about the journey. Are you going to get all the answers you want?
Probably not.
Who knows? It's just about that journey where you're going to be able to realize, I think, how you work in this world, how big this world it really is.
Yeah.
And where you fit in all of it. And I think that part of digging into your roots and looking around you and seeing your community, your culture, and your family, your immediate and your extended ohana or extended family is really going to make you a better person, hopefully. And mm-hmm. I think that's why my perspective on that is that your roots are essential. And it's easy to get caught up in, you know, what the day-to-day world that we live in and looking so far ahead and missing the little things. But yes, I think that's my perspective.
Okay.
So with this conversation on roots and reconnecting and your relationship with your roots, what do you think about cultural appropriation?
Man, I think cultural appropriation is a huge topic. And I really want to break it down. You know, the definition of cultural appropriation is the adoption of the elements of one's culture by members of another culture. I personally only consider it appropriation is when it's deemed and I'll use my culture for example, the black culture.
Give us some examples.
When you look at aspects of my culture and look at it as negative, bad, and you demonize those things, and then someone of the popular culture, for example, white people, you look at it and they do the same thing, and then it's glorified. So, for example, what's now called the boxer braid that one of the Kardashians made popular.
What is it? Like, explain that to me.
Boxer braid is the two long braids that some men have, a lot of women have too. They go down the head and all the way down.
Gotcha.
So, you know, growing up, my sisters did that all the time. Uh-huh. Mama had them braids. Everybody had them braids.
Okay.
The homies had the braids.
Okay.
And, you know, braids were not looked at as a neat and popular thing.
Yes.
The second the Kardashian did it, it became an urban chic look. You know, they put a nice spin on it.
So is that appropriation or is that appreciation? What do you think that is?
That is not appreciation because they did not appreciate where they got. They didn't give credit where the credit was
due. And they're making that dollar off that.
And they made that money off of my culture. That is cultural appropriation. It became appropriate for those people to wear those braids without giving the respect and the honor to where it came from after we've been demonized and been frowned upon for doing those same things.
So that's the difference between that and cultural appreciation, correct?
Yeah, appreciation. Yeah, it's completely different. Maybe you could talk about appreciation.
Well, cultural appreciation has been a very interesting topic in addition to being in touch with our roots and our relationships with our reconnection to our culture and our family values is because, you know, recently, I want to use this example.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Lin just got some. Jeremy Lin, the basketball player. Yes, everybody.
Jeremy
Lin. From the Bay Area. He got some braids in his hair. So we bring it back to sports, but.
right.
But we bring it back to sports. But basically, Jay Lin got some braids. And Kenyon Martin, a former number one draft pick who played for the New Jersey Nets many years in the NBA as well, mm-hmm. but different teams, Nuggets included. He basically went on his Instagram and kind of blasted Jeremy Lin for his braids, not knowing that Jeremy Lin had wrote a very well thought out explanation and understanding of cultural appropriation versus appreciation in the Players Tribune. If you get a chance, go check that out. So the Players Tribune.
So what did he write about?
Basically, he said, you know, this is a fear and this is a, I know that I'm taking on a cultural symbolism and I don't want to mm-hmm. make sure that it's appreciated mm-hmm. and that it's me stepping into a world where I need to learn about and still understand. So it's not right. coming from just taking this on and not understanding right. the history and the context behind it. He talked about how long it took to his hair to get braided and done, 8 hours. Him and his colleague who is African-American, basketball player too, uh-huh. they're both getting dreads. Okay. So they're doing it together. And so he explains all this in the actual Players Tribune. Of course, it offended Kmart, who supposedly said he was just toast after he got a lot of slack for it, took down the videos and said, you know, he was just calling him out, not to diss him or anything, but to make fun of him. And so there's some controversy around it because this is the conversation of appropriation versus appreciation.
So after Jeremy Lin got the braids, in the statement, he said he appreciates what culture? He did this in, you know, in appreciation to a specific culture. That's mm-hmm. what he did?
Yes.
Oh. And,
but the funny thing is, he also called out Kenyon Martin, said, hey, you know, you have Chinese tattoos too. So, like, you got Chinese tattoos. I don't even know if you know what it means, but, you know, I'm getting braids. You know, I'm getting a...
I'm getting cornrows and you got Chinese tattoos.
Yeah, dreadlocks. And so it's like, as minorities, we should appreciate our cultures and be able to learn from it and be appreciative of it. And so we're not appropriating it. We're not taking it and right. just making money and profit off of it and not respecting where the roots are coming from. So that's why your roots and reconnecting to your values and your family and those things are so important and understanding your history.
That's kind of funny. It reminds me of an ESPN 860 documentary I saw on Porzingis. The Knicks. Yes. What position is he? Center?
He's the center, yes.
The Knicks center. He was talking about how when he was 15, 16 years old, him and his brothers all had cornrows. But that's because his favorite player was Melo.
Carmelo, yes.
Carmelo and his old former teammate. He loved Melo. And for some reason, he thought he would be able to play like Melo if he got his hair braided.
Well, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, symbolisms of certain culture, it may at first start off as a
admiration.
And it can really take you on to a journey where if you take the time to understand the history and the context, mm-hmm. For example, dreadlocks and the roots of the Rastafarian culture in Jamaica.
Kingston.
Yes, if you don't know Coach Real is, he does have some Jamaican roots.
Jamaican roots, man. Curry and gold.
So, you know, if you look in the Jamaican, the Islander culture, dreadlocks is something that's part of the Rastafarian culture that is also very normal. And people from Jamaica are from all walks of life as far as Islanders, but obviously predominantly African-American. And,
yeah.
But it's a very interesting topic and conversation and debate.
I think there's a lesson in this about cultural appropriation and appreciation. What we have to realize, you know, appreciation might just be the next step to ending racism. Okay. And I'm going to take it there because...
Take it there. All right.
In order to...
Keep it real. Keep it buck. Keep it buck.
Keep it 100. When you appreciate someone's culture, that means you literally take on their food, their way of living, their language.
Preach.
And you then appreciate everything about that. You know, if you just listen to hip-hop and don't know anything about hip-hop culture, you think it's rickety ruckus. You know how the old folks say. But when you take the time out to learn hip-hop history, how it was founded... who started it, how hip-hop was born, you begin to appreciate the art form. That same art form is applied to life. Once you understand that person's culture, you understand what they go through, you understand how they speak, you understand how they eat, you begin to really love your neighbor. And that's one, you know, that's the basics to ending racism.
Okay. He took it there.
Y'all. Took it there.
Pastor for real. Pastor for real, just take it there. Forget governor. No, forget all that.
Coach for real, bro.
Oh man, he just took it there, y'all. But yeah, man, we appreciate that. That was that's a really interesting way to look at things. Stepping into actually really understanding and ending racism, because the truth is, we exist in a multitude of culture, right? Subcultures, cultures. Whether it be you're part of the gaming culture or the car culture or mm-hmm. the hip hop culture, those things are part of our identity as well as our core culture, which is our ethnicity, our race, however you want to identify your gender, sexuality, all these things. So reconnecting relationships with your roots is super, super important.
Yeah.
So on that, we will end it and we will run right into our next segment, which is your relearn and rethink segment of the week. We just want to take this time to kind of dive into those lessons that we just talked about. What I would say is this week, just take a second to rethink about something. Rethink all the lessons that you went through in your life. Revisit and reconnect with all your relationships and your family, even if it is toxic or non-existent. It's important to your development and your growth and your reconnection to you as a person, to your role as a father figure, a mother figure, a brother, a sister, a mentor, in your profession to be a great professional. Mm-hmm. All these things are important when you have to reconnect and re-understand your family and your roots, because those you'll find out a lot about why and who you are and who you are. That's what I would say to really help your wisdom and develop your core as a person. Reconnect with those people and those relationships in your lives.
Yeah, what I'm taking away from this is the relearn aspect, man. We learn your history. We learn the history of and the culture of both of your parents if you're fortunate enough. You know, start with your brothers, your sisters, OGs around the neighborhood, as Professor said earlier. Really, we learn your culture, even your city. If you're from LA, if you're from the Bay, learn.
The Bay?
Yeah, from the Bay. Learn why your city is the way it is. You know, you'll learn a lot, and that may play into those core values that really develop and shape who you are as a person. So relearn your roots, man. Start local.
Start local. All right, man. So on that note, we just want to really take the time to thank you. This ends episode three. But I do want to say you can connect with us on Instagram, Twitter.
You can hit me up at For Real Khalil, @For Real Khalil, FORREAL KHALIL, and that's on IG.
And Professor Dean is PRFDEAN underscore Professor Dean at Instagram. With that being said, we just want to thank you again.
Give a shout out to all our listeners. We appreciate the love. We appreciate the feedback. Continue to support us.
Yep, and we got a couple of updates we want to give you. Pretty soon we're going to be moving along to iTunes. We're going to give the updates of all this. So keep listening to us on SoundCloud for now, but we'll move right on to iTunes. We got a show coming up.
Be on the lookout November 8th. My clothing line, my company, my baby, Trinity, is dropping. You can hit me up on IG, and I'll give you all the information. At For Real Khalil, hit me up.
Awesome. All right, man. Thank you again. Signed sincerely, Professor Dean.
Coach For Real.
And remember, everybody, we are relationships and who we invest in. Signing off.